And Goliath. You don't want to miss David and Goliath. I'm the worst kind of preacher to plan things out. You know, like I know these pastors, preachers, they got everything planned out for the next 3 months. They got all their sermons in order and all that. I have no idea how a guy thinks like that. Because just as soon as I think, okay, well, I'll have this message, this first message, and then the next week I have the second message, then we'll have the mission conference, and then I'll have the third message before I have to go preach, but then that doesn't happen because I got sick. So wherever we're at and I'm here, that's where we'll be. So just always remember that about Pastor Abels. I'm not one to be 6 months ahead of time, that's for sure. I'm more in the moment. But here's what you will get from me. Whatever the next verse is, we'll look at it in the context of it. And I do believe this is how churches are established and built and disciples are made, by preaching through the Bible. So God knows better than I do, and He knows where you're at, and He knows what needs to be preached. And when I come to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want you to turn there, we'll stand in just a minute, but when we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in the next two chapters, Paul has told them that he doesn't want them to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. And here we are, and the world is ignorant today. Religiosity and religious circles are ignorant about the things of God when it comes to faith and hope and charity and preaching and wisdom and knowledge and giving and all of those kind of things. Because here's what everybody is looking for. Religion is looking for a feeling. Religion is looking for a euphoria. People want to come to church and experience something. They want to feel something. That is not Christianity. That's religion. And the pagan culture of Corinth had once again, as we've already looked at, made its way from the old life of the pagan temple worship. Now it's raised its ugly head in the church. And people are more concerned about spiritual gifts like miracles and things that are out of the ordinary, when we look at today that some of those things have passed away. Some of those things passed away. Now the reason I'm saying this is because I wanted to preach this first message a couple of weeks ago when I was sick. And that is this message this morning is don't counterfeit spiritual truth. All right, we are not here to get an experience. We're here to get the truth. Amen. We're not here this morning to get a feeling. We're here to grow in our faith. Amen. That's what Christianity is all about. And they were moving this euphoric feeling into the church. And the second message I really wanted to preach, and now I'm not sure, but I wanted you to understand that when I got saved, I was dealt this blow of you got to have this feeling, you got to do these certain things, there's things that's going to come into your life and you're going to be euphoric. And this is taught in many circles today. And so I, as a young Christian, as a newborn babe in Christ in 1984, was confronted with this idea of feeling versus faith. And so I did what any good Christian should do, is I got the Bible and a Strong's Concordance and a piece of paper, and I started going through all of these things. And the very first message I ever preached was this idea about spiritual gifts, the gifts that have been done away with, and the authenticity of the Word of God, and how that tongues and miracles and such as that, they've passed away. Now what I mean by that is God doesn't need a miracle to authenticate His Word. We have the Word. Amen. The Word of God is complete, it's inerrant, it's infallible. But they didn't have the Word of God, and so the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, allowed men like Peter and Paul and others to use miracles. And then every time there'd be a miracle in the Word of God, or every time there would be tongues that were spoken, which, by the way, tongues in the Bible are always known languages. It's only unknown if you don't know that language. And they would speak that, they would preach the Word of God in that tongue. A miracle would take place, and then they would preach the Word of God. It was all about preaching the Word of God. Today we have the Word of God, so preachers are to preach the Word. Amen. To be instant in season and out of season. But you see, people today still looking for a feeling. And the people in Corinth, they were looking for a feeling. Can I remind you that at this time that the gospel went to Corinth, that there was all kinds of mystery religions, but the New Testament Christianity of the gospel, the death and the burial and the resurrection was relatively new thing. I mean, faith's always been, but I'm telling you, and Paul came to Corinth, he came with fear and trembling, he saw the idolatry, he saw the temple worship, he saw the wickedness of the city, but he goes and he preaches the Word of God. The unadulterated Word of God, that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation, that Jesus Christ died on the cross, that Jesus Christ was placed in a borrowed tomb, that Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead. Chapter 15, so it talks all about the resurrection. There's so many messages in 1 Corinthians 15 that we'll get to. And my friend, if there wasn't a resurrection, then our preaching would be in vain, your faith would be in vain, and we might as well go home and watch TV. But we're not. We're here because of the resurrection. We're here because of the gospel. We're not here because of euphoric feelings, mystery religions, trying to experience something. I remember one time I met with a lady and I was showing her the Word of God, and she began to say something like this: "Well, I've experienced it." And let me just say you this: the devil will give you an experience, God will give you the Word of God. Amen. It's not about feelings, it's about faith. It was spoken of in our Sunday school hour in marriages. People are looking for a feeling. Hey, listen, you'll have a feeling, but you better have commitment. And you better be all in when it comes to marriage. So with that in mind, stand with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I just wanted to give that little preview. Hopefully you understood. I hope you understood it. But Paul is once again, after 1 Corinthians 11 and dealing with the problems of the Lord's Supper and how they had disregarded it and how they had abused it and how they had done it incorrectly in many ways. He turns his attention now to spiritual gifts, because there's people that desire to have a feeling. There's people that desire to have something that they should be more concerned about: faith and hope and charity. Yes, there's things. There's faith and there's preaching and there's discerning spirits and there's different languages. But let me tell you the difference between those languages. If a man had the ability to stand up and preach Spanish, and he didn't know Spanish, the Spanish language, and he was able to stand up in front of a whole congregation of Spanish-speaking people, only God could do that. Amen. Today, people who want to go to Spanish-speaking countries that don't know the language, they have to go learn it. Amen. So there's a lot of things today that are going on in Christendom. Charismatic movement. By the way, the charismatic movement didn't even start till about 1906. So we'll deal with that later on. But listen, what I want you to see here with me this morning, what Paul is talking about: spiritual gifts in the church. And why do we have spiritual gifts? Why does God give us talents? What are these reasons for? So he says this: "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." As the pastor of Berean Baptist Church, I would absolutely say the very same thing. I wouldn't want us to be ignorant over these things. "You know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led." He's talking about their old lifestyle of the temple worship and the idolatry they were in and all of the things that went along with that. "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed." They would use, and by the way, in the old temple worship, in the old temple worship of paganism, they would use their gods, somehow the names of their gods, to curse other people. Christianity, we don't do that. We don't do that at all. But they did that. They were used to that kind of thinking. There's idols all over Rome where people would even have on their tombstone that if you mess with this grave, may you receive the same result as Judas did. They have that on their tombstone. So they understood that story. They would use that as a curse to people. We don't curse people. We're to love people. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus Christ accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit of God here that allows us to be the people of God, and He places us where He does, and He gives us things that He wants us to have. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there, you know what? I could just say it like this. We're all different. We all have different abilities. We all have different gifts. Now, one gift may rise. In other words, let me give you that. Somebody talks about faith, promise, mission, giving. How many would agree with me today that I believe Scott Nail has the gift of giving? He talked about he can't wait to fill out his... Some people, you can't get them to fill out a card. Some people can't wait to give a card. Now, I'm not giving your motive in anything. I'm not saying you're not praying about it. But some people just have the ability to give, and some people have to work on that. You understand what I'm saying? So even though you may not have a specific gift of administration or giving or empathy, compassion, doesn't mean that you shouldn't be working on that. Somebody stay with me now. He's talking about the church setting here, the gifts that they have and how that they be using them. Now verse 6 says, there's diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all. Isn't that amazing? There's different gifts, but the same Holy Spirit. There's different administrations, but the same Jesus Christ. There's diversity of operations, but the same God the Father. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, listen to this, to profit withal. In other words, whatever gift you have, whatever talent you have, whatever ability you have, it's not about you. Amen. It's about serving the church that you're in. It's about making sure that the church is edified. It's not about you. It's not about me. But I'm to preach the word. I'm to develop preaching. And I'm to be instant in season and out of season. Then he talks about some things like in verse 8. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing. Verse 10, working of miracles, prophesying. Today we would call that preaching. Discerning of spirits. You know, some people can't discern their left hand from their right hand. But some people discern things really well. To diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, but all these worketh that one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. I like verse 12, for as the body is one, and we are, and hath many members, and we do, and all members of that one body being many, and we are one body, so also is Christ. This is about the church. Edification, doing our part, not being just a taker, but how about being a giver? John Kennedy made the great declaration in 1960, it's not what your country can do for you, it's what you can do for your country. I don't know who wrote that for him, but that was a great statement. And I would say this, it's not what the church can do for you, it's what you can do for the church. Lord, help us today in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. As we go back to this time period and be reminded that in the book of Acts, Paul spent 18 months in Corinth, a very difficult location. And I'm not saying that one location maybe is easier than another, but we are reminded if we read through the book of Acts that Paul had come from the city of Athens where there were thousands of deities and thousands of idols, and Paul took the one that, and all of these idols in the city of Athens, he looked out and he saw this one idol, and it said to the unknown God. because the Athenians were so afraid that they might have forgotten some god, they decided that they would make this little marker or this little idol and say to the unknown god, just in case we miss something. And Paul said, you have missed something. And he began to preach and to declare unto them Jesus Christ and the resurrection of the dead. And I'm paraphrasing in the book of Acts, but they said something. This is interesting. And you know what? A lot of times the first thing that happens is curiosity. But here's the difference about curiosity and truth. The truth will set you free. And when you hear the word of God maybe for the first time, and you hear the resurrection and the gospel of Jesus Christ, there may be a curiosity, but there must come a time when there's more than curiosity, there becomes conviction. And the Spirit of God begins to show you that what the Word of God says is true. And it begins to draw you and show you your need of salvation. And it is my desire that those who are without Christ and those who are not saved would come and get saved by the grace of God. And you know what Paul said to the church at Corinth when he talks about all the wicked things that went on in Corinth? But such were some of you, but you're washed, you've been sanctified. And many of them had been saved out of this temple worship, idolatry, and all things that Paul saw, not only in Athens, but he saw in Corinth. And when you begin to think about the pagan cults of Greece and Rome, you might look it up and understand they were called, in many instances, mystery religions. And by Paul's time of the Greek and Roman culture that I would say goes all the way back to the Tower of Babel, all of the false religions and what the devil would try to do goes all the way back to that. But in Paul's day, they had dominated the Eastern world for thousands of years. And now Paul and the church at Jerusalem and the church at Antioch and the other churches begin to be established, all based upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now there's these community of believers called churches popping up, and they're going out into their community and they're telling people there is a way of salvation. There's a way to have the peace of God that passeth all understanding, and it is to put your faith and your trust and repentance and repent of all of this idolatry and to repent of all of this wickedness and to repent of all of this sin and turn from those idols and turn to the living God. In Jesus Christ. So by Paul's time, these Eastern mystic religions had dominated the world for thousands of years, indirectly or directly, and they would dominate the Western culture through the Middle Ages, and in some extents, even to today. Folks, the devil don't have anything new. He just rewraps it and calls it a different thing. It's the same old package. It's the wiles of the devil. And if you go and look at these false religions, they originated the idea of a baptismal regeneration. And can I say that that's nothing more than a feeling? I need to feel something. Not only do I need, either I need to feel something or I need to do something. Listen, it's already been done in Jesus Christ. But these religions will teach, well, you got to do something. You got to have some euphoric feeling. You've got to feel it. You've got to do it. Listen, my friend, that's what people go to church today. That's why the music is so wild in many of these congregations. They got to juice the people up, and people get this euphoric feeling, and there's this oneness with God. No. Listen, there's one with God through the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, not by a feeling. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a feeling. There's nothing wrong with that. But our salvation is not based on a feeling. It's based on facts of the Word of God. So not only are false religions either feeling or doing something, baptism or regeneration, being born again by works, the practice of flogging oneself or mutilation. Listen, If we were to beat ourselves based upon our sinful condition, we'd all be beating ourselves to death. But sometimes, this is all part of the mystery religion. Well, if you go out, and listen, I saw it in India like I've never seen it before. The pulling of your skin, the appeasing of the gods, trying to appease a god. They were doing it in Corinth, they were doing it in Athens, they're doing it in religious settings all across the world. And Paul is trying to get them to understand, you're bringing that wickedness into the church, and it has no business in the church. You know what needs to be in the church? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, preaching the Word of God, learning what the Bible says, discipling ourselves. We're not looking for a feeling. You're not going to kill a giant with a feeling. You're going to kill a giant with the faith and with God's power. You're not going to kill a giant by your power. You're going to kill a giant by God's power. You're not going to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord by some feeling. You're going to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord by the Word of God itself. Mutilating oneself, flogging oneself, trying to get spiritual favor, pilgrimages, all of these kind of things were taking place. I have to do something, or I want to feel something. And listen, we got to understand, right here in the day in which we live, it's still going on. It's going on all across this country. It's going across churches today as they're trying to rev people up, trying to get them to feel a feeling. And Paul understands once again, they've brought their old life of the pagan ways into the church. Now, I know that young people today, maybe like are really young, like I'm in my 60s, so I'm thinking people in their 20s and their 30s, they don't even know what rock and roll is, because the music has gone in so many different directions, it's almost unbelievable. But I could take you back to the 70s when I was a teenager. And I could take you back to when the music was the rock and roll culture, and people like John Lennon, who was of the Beatles, said things like, if we can get to the minds of the young people, we can transform America. Those were statements that he made. And you know, some of the rock and roll of the Beatles is very calm compared to some that came later on after that. But it just kept being a feeling. It just kept being euphoria. It kept being this, and they had to bring the beat, and the beat had to get bigger and better, and it was all turned toward the flesh. Now, listen to me. That stuff found itself into churches. And the reason you're never going to fool me is because I got saved out of that garbage. I got saved by the grace of God. And then I would hear that same type of euphoric feeling pumped into the churches and called religion and said it's all about religion. No, salvation is about the facts of the Word of God. Amen. Faith, my faith grows as I read the Word of God, as I understand God is good, that God knows what He's doing, that God is on the throne, that God is in control. Otherwise, we'd all be crazy. Because life, the truth is life sometimes stinks real bad. But God is good all the time. And this world is not our home. Paul said it something like this in 1 Corinthians 15, just reading through my Bible. He said, I'm going to paraphrase what he said, but he said, if this all we had, then we'd be men most miserable. No, listen, my friend, we're headed to heaven. We need to make sure we try to take people with us. Paul understands that these pagan ways have now found their way in the church, and he's saying, listen, I don't want you to be ignorant of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts, and by the way, you have to understand, the Holy Spirit of God really did some amazing things on the day of Pentecost. Amen? When those people all stood up and started speaking languages from the different, all of these people had come to Jerusalem from the different parts of the world, and they began to hear the gospel in their own language, and guys were preaching the Bible that did not know their language, but yet the Holy Spirit of God gave them the ability to preach that. And even one guy says, man, these people, are they drunk? And they go, no, you don't drink before 12. This is the Holy Spirit of God pouring Himself out and preaching the Word of God to authenticate the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a pretty amazing thing. It's a pretty amazing thing when Peter and John and the man that was lame there at the gate called Beautiful. And they had this ability. The Holy Spirit of God gave them the ability, and he looked at him and he fasted on him and he said, rise up and walk. And the man got up, and the Bible says he went leaping and jumping and praising God. That's a pretty amazing miracle. I bet that guy felt pretty good that day. But see, But see, and so because of these miraculous things that the Spirit of God had done, all of a sudden people go, well, I want to feel that. How do I know this? Go back to Acts chapter 14. I want you to see this is the ministry. This is the type of people that Paul is ministering to. These are the things that are going on in Acts chapter number 14. He's in Iconium. And it came to pass, verse 14, we're just going to have to take time to do this because this is so important. You have to see what Paul is dealing with in Corinth. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. You know what happened? They heard the gospel. They believed the gospel. They repented. The power of God was real. And they got saved by the grace of God. No different than when we get saved. Listen, my friend, I got saved in 1984 and my whole life was transformed. And so is yours if you got saved. But here's the problem in verse 2. Religion hates Christianity. So the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of His grace. And look at this. And granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. This is Holy Spirit of God. This is what God is doing. These miracles that are taking place are to show that God is in control. But the multitude of the city was divided. Boy, isn't that, that's not, I should say the United States of America was divided. It really is. The multitude of the city was divided. Part of them held with the Jews and part with the apostles. There's people that have gotten saved. Their lives have been changed. There's miracles that are taking place. There's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God going on in these miracles. And by the way, the Pharisees saw Jesus Christ raise the dead. They couldn't deny it. They saw Jesus Christ make lepers clean. They could not deny it. They saw Lazarus raised from the dead and they said, we got to get rid of this fella. He's messing up our... You see, that's what religion is. You can't deny what Jesus Christ did. You cannot deny that He said, I'll leave the comfort of the Holy Spirit. There's going to be sign gifts. Now listen to me. Sign gifts are to authenticate the message and the messenger. But we don't need that anymore because we have the complete Word of God. But they didn't have the complete Word of God. So they did have these miracles. Now Corinth, they had all these feelings in the temple. They wanted these same feelings. And Paul is saying, hey, don't be concerned about what kind of gift you have. Be concerned about using it for the glory of God. I'd say the same thing to you. Well, let me sit here back down to verse number 5. We've got to get through this. Preacher can't just read a passage of Scripture. Verse 5, and when there was assault made both of the Gentiles and of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and into the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. You get the tone, here? Paul ain't going to quit preaching. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. And then there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up on thy feet! And he leaped and he walked. Now this man had never walked before. And when the people saw what Paul had done, it was what God had done through Paul, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of the Lycaonians, or Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. This is their perceived wickedness of religion. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices. Verse 12, they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands under the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of, they rent their clothes, ran in among the people, crying out, sirs, why do you do these things? We are of men like passions of you. We also are men of like passions with you. In other words, we're not no gods. We serve the living God. This man is healed because God wants you to understand the truth, not to make false sacrifices to Jupiter and Mercury. Those are idols. So we also are men of like passions with you and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities and turn unto the living God which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven, fruitful season, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is the kind of society that Paul's preaching in. But I hate to tell you this, we've come full circle because we almost preach in the same type of society. And people go to church and they go to try to get some experience. Am I telling the truth? And they should be able to go to a church and hear a man of God stand up and preach the Bible. Amen. And say, hey, we are, and by the way, I'm a man of like passion as you are. I have no great ability. All I am trying to do is teach you what the Bible says. So I want you to go back now to Corinth after you see this, and I want you to understand that pagan practices were affluent in the city of Corinth. Just like you see that in Iconium and Lystra and Derbe and those places. This was everywhere. This was a part of the Eastern mystic religions of that day. One of the most obvious was a word called ecstasy. Now there's a drug out today that's actually called ecstasy, and they say if you take this drug, and it was a popular drug not many years ago, and you take this drug and you have this gigantic euphoric feeling. And all drugs are like that, whether it's marijuana or whether it's cocaine or meth or alcohol. These are all drugs to try to give people some kind of euphoric feeling. Try to get people to get away from their troubles. Oh, you'll drink your troubles. But when you get sober, the troubles are still there. But now they're compounded. Those kind of things were done in the temple worships. And they even used immorality in those temple worships, all looking for some kind of high ecstasy thing with these gods. And because it was so dramatic and because it was so bizarre and sometimes even called an out-of-body experience, it appeals to the natural man. Because man likes to have a feeling of euphoria. That's why he takes drugs. That's why he drinks alcohol. That's why men and women commit immorality. In fact, immorality in the religions of Corinth was actually termed, there was a term and it was called, they've been Corinthianized. And it meant to indulge in extreme things. And I want you to understand, because the Spirit of God, because the Holy Spirit had performed many miracle works in the apostolic age through sign gifts, some Corinthians believers confused the true wonders of God with the false wonders counterfeited by the paganism. And what I'm saying today is don't substitute the Spirit. Don't substitute what is spiritual for that which is false. You come to Berean Baptist Church, you're going to hear the Word of God. You're not going to hear, well, now let's all hold hands and sing Kumbaya. Now come up here, Brother James, and let's get us one of them. Come on, let's get something going. Woo, 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 woo. It's kind of like going to a ball game, you know, when they try to, the crowd's kind of down, and so the organist gets up there and doo, 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 doo. Yeah, come on now, here we go. Woo! Like that's going to help the guy hit the baseball. If he couldn't hit it before the organ played, he probably ain't going to hit it after the organ plays. People would come up with these hypnotic chants, ceremonies of pagan religious experience, semi-conscious feelings, trying to get one with the gods or the goddesses. And often the ceremony would be preceded by vigils and fastings and drunkenness and drugs and intoxicating beverages and trying to get a feeling for people to try to feel something. Experience is not your final authority. Experience is not the test of truth. the final authority is the Word of God. God's Word is our final authority, not some type of experience. I had a lady tell me one time as I was, she was telling me that she went to this religious thing, and she said people started speaking in tongues and people started rolling their eyes in the back of their head, and so they started teaching her how to do it, and she got this euphoric feeling, and she said, oh, it was of God. I said, oh, no, it's not. You might have had an experience, but what did it have to do with preaching of the gospel? What did it have to do with salvation? Oh, well, it was a religious experience. And I said, well, that's not what we're preaching. At that time at Calvary Baptist Church, we're preaching salvation by grace through faith. Amen. The devil wants you to have an experience. God wants you to have a relationship. Amen. And there's a difference between an experience and a relationship. I want you to look at some of the things that Paul said. He said, the Spirit of God has given people wisdom in verse number 8. He's given people knowledge. He's given people faith. He's given, yes, the gifts of healing. And we know the apostles had that. We know that Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, listen, if you look at Mark chapter 16, you can't use one without the other. So if you had the miracles, if you had the gift of miracles and the gift of healing and you had the gift of the ability and you really did have that gift, why would you set up a tent and try to heal people? Why don't you go to the cancer ward? Why don't you go where all the COVID people are? Because sign gifts are gone, my friend. And the reason they're gone is because we have the complete and inerrant Word of God. And so you know what people today are doing? The same thing. They're trying to bring the feeling into the church rather than faith. And yes, let me just tell you something. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Our hope is in Christ. We're to love people. And that's what Paul is going to give us in chapter 12 and in chapter number 13. He's going to talk about wisdom. He's going to talk about faith. He's going to talk about discernment. He's going to talk about, by the way, in chapter 13 in verse number 8, he'll say this, charity never fails. Look at this, chapter 13 verse 8. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. We know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, right here, there's no doubt to me that it's the Word of God. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. And you know what Paul said? I don't want you to be ignorant. So in verse number 11, he says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Verse number 13, here's what Paul says. Here's what abides, faith, hope, and charity. That's what's going to stand the test of time. And so we need to understand this morning, my friend, that we are not to counterfeit spiritual truth. We need faith. We need hope. We need love. And the greatest of these is love. You know what this world needs? This world needs love. They need to know the love of Jesus Christ. And you know what Paul said? The love of God constraineth us. There's no love in this world. There's envy. There's hate. There's bitterness, even in God's house. Whatever happened to forgiveness and forbearance? Whatever happened to love the brethren so that people would know that you're different than the rest of the world? These religions don't love each other. They're trying to get an experience for themselves. Faith and hope and love and preaching, these are God's provision for the edification of the church and evangelism of the world. These are the means through which believers grow and worship and witness and serve. God's spiritual gifts are given by God to strengthen and manifest and give us harmony and power. Not some kind of feeling that Satan wants us to have. I never have been one of those touchy-feely kind of guys anyway. And then I found out it's biblical. If you want to see my feminine side, meet my wife. Her name's Robin. That's the only feminine side I ever want to have. And I got pretty rebuked this morning. She's not my better half. She's my 100% completer. Somebody say amen. Amen. There's a great misunderstanding of spiritual gifts today. And it was in Corinth. I want you to go to Romans chapter 12. Boy, I know I feel like I'm all over the place here, but I'm really not. I want you to look at Romans chapter number 12. As Paul was writing to this community of believers in Rome called a church, he told them in chapter 12, this is how we should be living. And by the way, if he told the church at Rome that, I reckon he can tell the church at Berean in Springfield, Missouri. He says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which, by the way, is nothing more than your reasonable service. Being holy and being righteous and being pure, that's not something that's foreign to the Scripture. That's still in the Word of God today. He tells them in verse 2, don't be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be looking for a feeling. He goes on to say, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body and all members have not the same office, we are not the same person. We do not have the same gifts. So we being many are one body in Christ and every one members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute, and bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that do weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. That's church. Nowhere in there did it say, now go to church and get all juiced up and get a feeling. Go into the barn and beat yourself if I'm going to beat myself, it's going to be with a wet noodle. That's not, you know what? That's the devil. All that stuff is devilish. I don't mind if you jump up. Just make sure you hit the ground in less than 5 seconds. Oh, I had this euphoric feeling, experience, and I'm one with God. Or how about this? I've heard this. Can you tell me about your salvation? Do you know the Lord as your Savior? Oh, yes. One day I went out into the meadow, and I laid down in the sun, and I was one with God. And I've never been the same. Honey, I think you ate too many hot dogs for supper last night, because that's not salvation. Is everybody with me? I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, of spiritual gifts. God knows what we need. And by the way, everything, we have everything we need in our church membership. Well, I'm not a member of the church. Well, you need to, if you're going to do God's work and God's service God's way, you got to do that. That's just part of God's plan. We're not free moral agents to live in our boat and worship the way we want. We are to assemble ourselves together as the manner of some is. Because there's nothing like a setting. There's nothing like a church setting. Praise God for live stream. But live stream is not assembling. The Spirit of God is with us. And everything that we need to edify the body of Christ, which is a church, is right here among us. There's one preacher, but we got lots of teachers. Got a lot of other preachers. I'm not the only one that can preach. And don't try to seek for something. Just do what God's given you. But you'll read in chapter 13, it's all about the body. And all members are necessary. You look at your body. It's fearfully and wonderfully made. The spirit, the body of Christ, which is a church, is fearfully and wonderfully made. And everybody can't be the ear, and everybody can't be the nose, and everybody can't be the teeth. But I'm sure glad I got a nose, ears, and teeth. Some gifts may appear more noticeable, even more desirable, but every gift that God gives us is necessary for the edification of the church. I also think about what he said over in the book of Hebrews. When Paul, and by the way, it's amazing that when you read through the Bible, Paul doesn't just tell the church at Corinth about faith and hope and charity. He does it to several churches. In Ephesians chapter number 4, he will say things like, now he gave the church, look in verse 11, he gave them apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Now there is no more apostles. They all died. But there are pastors and teachers. And why did God give us pastors and teachers? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Amen. I get no more edification than when I come to church. Because the world tries to suck the life right out of me every day. Tries to drag me through the mud. Tries to do all that. But when I come to church, no matter what's going on, when we start the first song, I'm like, Well, I thought you said it wasn't about a feeling. It's not. It's about what those songs say and about the Spirit, how spiritual they are. And then the Word of God is opened up and the Word of God is preached. And I'm told today, don't be ignorant about spiritual gifts. I'm told that I need to become mature. That I need to, and we need to have this until we come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then verse 14 says, you know why we come to church? You know why we're given a pastor? You know why the Word of God is preached? So we're not like children tossed in to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Right. Folks, it amazes me when somebody, or I got a call from a preacher about 3 weeks ago, and he said, brother, I want to tell you, somebody walked into my office, tried to give me some new doctrine. I said, man, hit him and tell him to go away. Cut it out of the body right now. Because when somebody comes to you and has gotten some new doctrine, some new way, some new thing, it ain't nothing but it's just the devil wrapped up a package and calls it something different. It comes in the form of Calvinism, charismaticism, works for salvation, baptismal regeneration. It comes in speaking in tongues. It comes with people saying, oh, I can heal you. I don't even know why God's people would even watch that garbage on TV. You know why? Because they're looking for a feeling. They think some dude on a television can tell them to send in their prayer cloth. And they're always selling something. Hey, we ain't selling nothing. We're trying to give away salvation because it's a gift of God. He goes on to say, that you're not tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But the preacher should be speaking the truth in love, so that we can grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Boy, there's that word love again. You want to know if a church is real? It's if they give you the hope of the gospel. You want to know whether a church is real? It's where they're preaching faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You know when a church is real? If there's love that is manifested among the brethren. God gives us what we need to edify Him, glorify Him. Let me just tell you something. Preaching, teaching, wisdom, giving, discernment, all need to be used in love and in hope and in faith. These are God's given spiritual gifts, but there's also talents and abilities that we need to use for God. Do you understand musical talent can be used for good or it can be used for bad? Some of these people that have used music for bad, you know where they first learned musical talents? In a church somewhere. Then they found out they could make money with it instead of glorifying God with it. Is somebody with me? Say amen. Amen. Looking for a feeling. Musical talents can be used for good or for bad. But if it's done with a heart for God, it'll be good. But if it's done like the Corinthians wanted to use it, it'll lead to self-gratification. Now listen to me. We are a local visible assembly of baptized believers. Praise God, we're all different. I didn't say weird. Don't be weird. And there's a difference between being different and being weird. I mean, weird just makes me, gives me the creeps. Don't be weird. But I'm glad we're all different. We have different abilities, different gifts, different talents. And by the way, if you say, boy, I got the gift of giving, and you say, well, I don't have the gift of giving, praise God. Oh, that's not the way it works. Having the gift of giving means it's just easier for you to give. It comes natural. Some people it doesn't come natural. They have to learn it. You still have to tithe and you still have to give to missions if you're going to be right with God. Some people are compassionate, and I'm working on it best I can. I'm serious. It is not the highest degree found in my repertoire. But I've asked God to help me. You know why? Because we need to be working on everything. You know what we really need? Praise God, we have the hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and His righteousness. My hope is not in this world. My hope is not in my bank account. My hope is not in some man. My hope is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Faith. How am I going to get faith? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God because you must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Amen.
Love. Some people are easier to love than others. But even those who are harder to love, we must love. In Christianity, there's a balance. We are to hate the sin, but we're to love the sinner. We're called to love. We're called to love each other. And Jesus said, you want to know how the world will know you're different? If you have love one toward another. That is Christianity. Brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant of spiritual gifts. Let's stand this morning, every head bowed. Again, the church is here to be a gospel preaching station and to make disciples, to evangelize, to baptize, and to make disciples. If you're not saved today, you need to be in the family of God. You can't even be in the church until first you get in the family of God. Then to get in the church, you have to be baptized. Join with the church. Learn. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Hear a little. There a little. Did you come to church this morning looking for a feeling? Or did you come to church this morning looking for the truth? God's Word. Is true. Father, bless the Word of God today. Help us to be